that. Wow, what an honor. Right, thank you for the scripture reading, Victoria, Justin, and Junyoung. So it was quite a long passage to read, and it is about the parable of the talents. Right, so let me start by recounting the parable a little bit, okay, because it was quite a long passage. Right, but before I start recounting, let me just explain two words. The first word is the word bond servant. Now, in the Bible, sometimes the word servant, and in this particular passage, actually in certain versions, they use the word bond servant. Oh, sorry, I need to set my timer, lest I go too long. Right, they use the word bond servant. A bond servant is one who is owned by another person. They do not have everything that is their own, nothing at all. Even their time belongs to their master, which means they wake up and all the things that they do actually sets out to please their master. That is a bond servant. The other word that I want to explain a little bit is the word talent. Very often when we think about talent, we think about giftedness, whether I've got musical talents, whether I could act, whether I could run a race and so forth. Well, this particular word talent used in this parable, in the passage today, is actually a weight, a measure of weight. So it's a talent of gold, a talent of silver. It's pretty heavy. It's 29 kilograms. May I ask, primary school children, how many of you are more than 29 kilograms already? How many of you are less than that? Well, we do have, right? Yes. Okay. So can you imagine you carry this child? Okay, all right, come. Okay. All right, I give you one chance. Tell one friend your weight. 1, 2, 3. Okay, shh. All right. So you can imagine a talent of gold. So if we give this person a talent of gold, this fellow is going to carry 30 kilograms. It's like going to NTUC and carry 3 sacks of rice. And not the small one, okay? The big ones. 3 sacks of rice. Kata, kata, and kata. Bring a trolley, okay? Right. So what kind of... That's a lot of money and probably takes a lifetime to finish spending it. So let me now go into the parable. There was a master. He went he was going on journey. So he chose 3 servants, all right? And he gave to them 1, he gave 5 talents. Another, he gave 2 talents. And the third person, he gave 1 talent. Right. Over here, you got to recognize that when the master gave, he gave them according to their abilities, all right? And I mean, we just have to acknowledge it, that there will be some people who are more capable than others, yeah? And there will be, the more talented will just receive more talents, okay? Well, but we also realize in life, when much is given to you, much is required of you. So with these talents, these guys had to go off to work. This is not his money, bear in mind, because they are bond servants. It is the master's money. And so they had to work hard for the master. At the end of the day, when they earn anything, it belongs to the master. Well, without instruction, without much ado, they went along about their work. At least 2 of them went about their work. Now, it is not like our modern day, okay? I just call my broker and say, hello, I got a lot of money today, okay? Go and invest for me. It's not like it now. Over then, they have to work hard. It was going to be hard work. Perhaps he bought a bakery, yeah? And then he has to knead the dough and knead a lot of dough. It was, after all, the staple of that time. Earn big money, right? Well, or maybe he could just go and invest in a field. Aha, or maybe a barley field over there in Israel. Well, think about that. I was just speaking to someone who had experience planting rice. And she was telling me it's hard work. First, you grow the shoots, and then you dig the holes. Then you put the shoots into the holes. And then after that, you cover the hole. And then you wait for the rain. While you're waiting for the rain, you must make sure there's no birds, there's no worms that will eat up your food. And then when there's no water, you go carry water. When there's too much water, you go and set the water out. And then after it's ready, you cut, you reap them, you thresh them, and you still got to put into a mill to husk them. From then on, I decided I shall cherish every grain of rice. It is going to be hard work. Definitely not easy. And then Bell, the master, was a long time in coming. Well, indeed, he came back, and ta-da, it was rewards time, accountability time. And he came back and asked, "What have you done with my money?" Well, the guy with the 5 talents, how many did he bring back? Oh, 10 million. He brought 5. So that all together, 5 plus 5 is? 10. The 2 talents, he brought back another? 2. And all 2 plus 2 is? Wow, wonderful. All of us say, 100% of our profit, I want to invest in this job, invest in this servant. Okay, anyway. And so the master rewarded the 2 of them, and he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have done well. Welcome to my joy. Just share in my joy." Wow, that is quite something. This is a master who was actually very generous. The master had everything that's his. It is the servant's job to do well for him. But when they did well, he said, "Come and share in my joy." He is a generous man. The third guy didn't feel so. The third man took the talent, 1 talent, and he hid it in the ground. Why did he hide it in the ground? He has a very different idea of his master. He said, "Master, I know you are a very hard man. You don't reap what you sow. You just punish us when we don't do well. You have got high standards, and therefore, I dug a hole and hid your gold so that when you come back, you can get it back. Ta-da! Now it is here." Didn't he know his responsibility and duty? His duty was to please the master and to do his master's work, wasn't it? Yet, did he do it? No. And worse still, he says, now he turned it over and he said a lie. He said, "You are a bad man. You are a very strict man. You have got high standards. You are not fair." He has turned it to the other way. Well, what was really on his mind, we really do not know. He had told a lie, and honestly, was he crippled by competition? "Yeah, this one got 5. Yeah, that one got 2. I only got 1. I'm very lousy. I better don't try. When I don't try, I don't fail. When I don't fail, nobody knows." Shh. Was that the way he was opting out? Was he choosing the easy way out? Let's just not do it. Crippled by competition, just stopped by fear. Well, actually, if you think about it, the 5 talents had to work very hard because he got a lot more to do, ma. But the 1 talent can do less, right? Yet, he chose not to do it. And at the end of the day, he expected his master to be pleased. "Hey, I kept your talent. Hey, the same one some more." If you are the master, would you be happy about that? No, come on. And what did the master say of him? "You wicked and lazy servant. No good, right? Not, you didn't do your work at all." That's exactly what he said. And he meted out punishment. Now you think about it, how is this parable relevant to us? You see, God has entrusted us with many gifts. And by gifts, what exactly do I mean? Just pause for a while first. Why do I say he has given us many gifts? You think about it, 1 talent of gold is worth at what they call 6,000 denarii. The denarii is their currency. Like we say dollars and cents. Huh? Over there, they say denarii. A servant's wage, one day, they are paid about 1 denarius. 16,000 divided by 365 is going to be about 16 years of wages. Even with that 1 talent, is 16 years of wages. If you have 5 talents, it's 5 times 16, 80 years of wages, you can retire for life. It is a lifetime worth of gifts. It is a lifetime for us to work on. So what kind of gifts am I talking about? I'm talking about gifts such as talents, possessions, personality. Your personality is a gift. Abilities, energy, time, influence. Not all of us can have the same influence, yeah? Relationships, some of us know people of higher places in that sense. Opportunities. All these are actually gifts from God. Well, these are not gifts for us to keep for ourselves, actually. For example, well, some of us may have what we suppose we may have musical gifts. You could play the keyboard, play the guitar, you can sing very well. Some of you may actually have tenacity. That is a gift, to be able to, you're resilient and all. Of course, you can train yourself, but some of us are just a little bit more tenacious than others. Some of us have the physique or the agility. Well, these are gifts given to us. We do not possess these gifts. We are only stewards. We are people who are supposed to take care of these gifts, just like the bond servant. These gifts are not for us to keep for ourselves. It is for us to serve others with. Translated into life, then what would that mean? It is not just money. Bear in mind, when you have got 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent, it was hard work. It involves strategizing. It involves planning. It involves a good attitude. It is about the best way how we can live to please the Master. That is the gifts. Let me just give you a few recent examples, all right? Have you seen this lady before? She's called Nightbird. All right, thank you. Okay. No, not okay. Never mind. If you haven't, let me introduce you to her, yeah? Her name is called Nightbird. She took part in the 2021 American Got Talent. When she first appeared on TV, she looked kind of like this, and I was wondering, why does she look so skinny? So they interviewed her, and she says, oh, well, she said, I'm gonna sing you a song that I wrote myself. It's called It's Okay. And I say, what about the song? She said, it's about my life. I've got cancer. So they asked her, are you okay? And she says, I still have cancer. Cancer of the spine, cancer of the lungs, cancer of in a lot of places. And so they paused and they drew back and they say, that is not okay, is it? And she made this statement. You can't wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy. That was a very powerful statement. And she used that. And later part, we realized that she's a Christian. The last part of her life, she documented, she put herself on YouTube and all, she documented herself. And she stayed strong, strong to faith, strong to life. She was in such pain, yet she continued to hold out. And she was such a testimony in itself, a very inspiring character. Let me share with you another person. Sorry, this picture is a little bit not so obvious, but if you could scrutinize it, or if you could just Google it when you go home, Bethany Hamilton. She's born in 1990. When she was 13 years old, sec one, 13 years old, she's a windsurfer, and the shark came and bit off her arm. If you could take a look, I apologize. She only has one arm, the one that's holding the board. The other one is a stump. She went on to competitions and all, and she is champion in many ways. And she didn't take part with the paraplegic. She actually competed with the normal people. And she has this to say. Courage doesn't mean you don't get afraid. Courage simply means you don't let fear stop you. Contrast that to the third servant. Maybe the guy was paralyzed by fear. He didn't invest and work at it at all. But given a chance and given what we have from God, we use it by God's strength. What about this third guy? Do you all know this guy? Stephen Curry? Oh, I hear more sounds. Yes, he's what kind of player is he? You're right, NBA. Today on my way to church, I saw this guy wearing number what? 30. And it says Curry. Yes. Right. Everybody knows him to be a devout Christian. And so at one interview, they asked him, hey, what does being a Christian athlete mean to you? He says, being a Christian athlete doesn't mean that I can pray for my team to win. God doesn't give the edge to those who pray over those who don't. What helps you to win is hard work. Being a Christian athlete means competing for Christ in a way in which you always give your all for Jesus. Whether you win or you lose, you thank God for the ability and the opportunity to play. It means giving all the glory to God, no matter the outcome, because you trust His plan for your life. That is the meaning of being a Christian athlete. In the same way, what does it mean to be a Christian student? When I was working in a school, I had often had students come up to me and say, they call me Madam Wong those days. Madam Wong, can you pray for my exams? My first question is, of course I can pray for you about your exams, but my first question for you is, did you study? It is still our responsibility to do our best, isn't it? So allow me to point us again to this point that we say we are stewards of God's gifts to us. We do not own what we possess. If these gifts aren't ours, then we have to know that we cannot spend it any way we like it. We've got to spend it according to the owner of the gifts. Suppose I'm good with my computer. Do I therefore spend a lot of time playing games on it? Or do I use my computer skills to make beautiful PowerPoint slides that people could use? Suppose I can talk very well. I can talk to the ape, I can talk to the auntie, I can talk to the children and all my friends. Do I therefore use my skill and go and scam other people of their money? Of course not. I can use it to advise people properly. What is your gift? You see, gifts in themselves are neither good nor bad. Whether it's good or bad is your heart. Whether your heart is from the Lord and to the Lord. Therefore, let us remember not to bury our gifts. Our gifts, let me remind you, are talents, possessions, personality, abilities, energy, time, influence, relationships, opportunities. Even the fact that you are in Queenstown Primary School, that you are in Westwood, that you are in Boys Brigade, that you are in Girls Brigade, all this is given to you by God. God decides that you will be there. Then ask God, what do I do when I'm here? You know something? God calls the unexpected. In the Bible, we have seen many times how this came about. God has called, well, let me just give you two examples. God called Gideon. Gideon is just working quite cowardly, and he was working in the threshing floor then. God appeared to him and says, you are going to go into war for me. He says, how can it be? My clan is the smallest. I am the least person. And God did it. Not with many men. In fact, he had thousands of people, but God says, never mind, just reduce them. 300 guys. You're going to go to war with 300 men. And they won the battle, not by the conventional method. When God called Moses, some of you would have heard of the name Moses before, right? Yes. Moses, when God called Moses, he wasn't a young man anymore. By then, he was a fugitive. He wasn't the prince that he used to be. He was a fugitive. And he was, might tell you, 80 years old. Why would God call an old man? Because it's not about the old man. It is about how God empowers. Has God called you to do something? Has God called you to start a project? God didn't ask you to end the project, just start it, because time is in God's hand. When we start, we don't have the duty to complete it, because we can hand it over to other people. And that is how God has designed us to be Christian living. Hand over, train them well. That's why we are training these young men and young women, that they may carry on the torch. Well, we come to the last part, the third servant, who had hidden the talent in the ground. And what did the master say to him? The master called him, "You wicked and slothful or lazy servant." Why is it wicked? It's wicked because he was too busy pursuing his own selfish ends. He did not care about the master or about the others whom he was called to serve. Just like the verse Victoria read to us in verse 10, we are called to serve. God, his master has called him lazy because he hadn't used his gifts, neither for himself nor other people. You see, he knows the good that he had to do, but he chose not to do it. And that we call sin. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it is said that as each has received his gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Well, we went on to read, what are the different ways we can serve God with? Teaching, preaching, leading, hospitable, and so forth. It is therefore our duty to use the gifts that God has given to us. But even before we use these gifts, let us recognize that these are gifts not for us to possess, but for us to serve others with. This parable was taught by Jesus because they asked him, what is the kingdom of God like? So Jesus explained, Jesus will come back again. The kingdom of God will come again. And we are going to be accountable to God the way we live our lives. The words that we say, the deeds that we do, the thoughts that we think, we got to be accountable. And I hope at this point I have not inflicted fear in you, but I do hope that we remember, but I do wish that we remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let us therefore develop a healthy fear of the Lord. Allow me to just come to this last slide. I'm afraid it's a little bit too small. I'll read it to you. It is written by an acquaintance, but who wrote the song for actually the Girls Brigade Junior. Girls Brigade is written for you, particularly the junior girls. In the chorus of this song, it says, "So I'll be your star, my Lord and King. Brightly I'll shine for you each day. Faithfully, small I may be, I'll be your star at work and play. Lord, grant me your strength, teach me your ways, to be your righteousness each day, so the world will see the light you placed in me." Such is what we are called to do. So, just a reminder, let us not bury our gifts, let us give them to the Lord. Shall we pray? Everyone, let's pray. Do you remember how to pray? Hands, eyes, bow your heads. Shh. Dear God, we thank you that you have given us many gifts. Teach us, Lord, to use these gifts the way you have designed it to be, that we may give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kafun. Now we end.